Chapter 16. Journey's End. September 10th. Mirth. Stavius woke up screaming in pain the next morning. It wasn't a hangover because he was still drunk, having just passed out a few minutes ago. He was in agony because he was being kicked, and it was no gentle nudge from Bernice. He was being kicked violently and hard by Janice. "Stop!" screamed Stavius. Janice continued to slam his foot into Stavius's side and call him names. "I hate you," Janice yelled. "Don't you ever try to talk to me again on Earth. I invited you to hang with my friends, and you lifted your nose and ran out in 2 minutes." Janice kicked him again and continued, "I hate you. I can't believe what a butthead you are." "Ow! Stop it," yelled Stavius. "I try to be nice and agree to hang with your friends, and what do I find? A bunch of losers. So yeah, I left as soon as I arrived, and then I had to figure out how to get home all the way across town. Don't worry, I'm not going to be giving you a call anytime soon either." "Fine," yelled Janice. "Yeah, fine," shouted Stavius. "I'm glad you two are awake and feeling so well," said Bernice as she walked over and pulled Janice away from Stavius. "It's time to go if you think you can put your differences aside long enough to get back to the prophecy. By the way, how's your hangover, Stavius?" "Actually, I don't really have one," admitted Stavius with some surprise. He expected to be puking all over again and was grateful only to have that experience once. "Well then, pack your gear and let's go see the Queen," said Bernice with a shake of her head. They stuffed their gear and a few handfuls of fruit into their backpacks, grabbed their weapons and a few more apples, and followed Bernice towards the north gate. Janice and Stavius kept glaring at each other with occasional nudges, but neither would answer Bernice's questions about what was bothering them. This was making Bernice feel grumpy, and she was ready to smack them both by the time the Queen arrived at the gate 10 minutes late. Stavius noticed that he didn't feel the same beautiful emotions he experienced yesterday as the Queen approached. She seemed to be radiating feelings of some sort of sadness and dread. He wondered if she was reacting to their emotions or if something else was bothering her. "Good morning, Your Highness," said Bernice. "Save it, Bernice," replied Queen Esthera. "Let us just get this done. Letitia, bring out the wands." The Queen was accompanied by a satyr carrying a long leather case. Stavius recognized her as one of the elders, and she appeared to be experiencing the same hangover Mark had felt on Earth. Stavius felt sorry for her as she knelt beside the Queen and carefully opened the case. The objects inside the cabinet appeared to be two long unicorn horns, which were radiating a soft, dark red and yellow glow. The Queen saw both boys recoil in alarm and quickly explained that a mare's horn detaches at the moment of her death. These horns retain a unicorn's magical energy, much like a dragon's gastroliths, and ancestral horns are stored in a sacred temple as their energy slowly dissipates throughout centuries. Some believe that these horns also contain the spiritual essence of the unicorns. "Pick up the horns, young men," commanded the Queen to Stavius and Janice. The two boys hesitated for a moment until they were both overwhelmed with a desire to take the horns. They knew that their urges came from the Queen. They each took a horn out of the case, expecting them to feel special in some way, but they were just smooth and cool. Then Queen Esthera bowed her head, and they felt a tingling warmth rapidly flow out of the horns and into the palms of their hands. Within seconds, their entire bodies were filled with feelings of warmth, love, and incredible power. Then, as quickly as these sensations flowed over and through them, they were gone. "You have just absorbed the magical essences of my two grandmothers," the Queen softly said. "May their powers replenish your own and help you succeed in your task. Your destinies and ours are now forever intertwined." "These were your grandmother's horns?" said Stavius in disbelief. "We can't accept this," added Janice, who was feeling as though he had just stolen someone's soul. "What is done is done," answered Queen Esthera. "There was no other way to restore your magical energies in time to save your compatriots. This was my choice and mine alone, but I am certain that both of my ancestors would have agreed. Please put their essence to good use. Come, Letitia, we should leave before Ajdal and Manaran arrive. Bernice will help see them out," said Queen Esthera as she turned to leave. Stavius could see that she was crying. "Wait, what about the horns?" he cried, holding the now colorless horn in his hand. "Those are nothing but lifeless pieces of keratin," the Queen softly answered as she continued to walk away slowly. "You have been given a priceless gift, young men. Please use it well." "We will find a way to recharge these and bring them back to you," shouted Janice, who found himself crying as well. The queen said nothing more and continued to walk away, leaning ever so slightly against her satyr friend and leaving Bernice, Stavius, and Janice standing in silence. No one said anything for several long minutes until they heard a soft, rumbling sound arising from the distance. "Put those horns away, boys," advised Bernice. "Here come your rides." Two of the most massive horses either boy had ever seen were racing towards them, and Stavius realized they were unicorn stallions as soon as they thundered to a stop and he saw their eyes. The younger unicorn's faces seemed very similar to normal horses, but Stavius had felt as though there was something odd about the queen's eyes. He hadn't been able to discern the difference other than that her face seemed oddly human, and had merely assumed it was something to do with the emotions she was broadcasting. He now knew there was another reason upon seeing the faces of these mature unicorn stallions without the distracting presence of a horn sprouting out of their foreheads. Horses have eyes on the sides of their heads. The eyes of mature unicorns face forward, like humans. Stavius guessed that unicorns' heads must gradually widen as they age, causing their eyes to migrate forward. He wasn't sure of the reason for this, but it made these creatures' faces appear far more human than equine. "Good morning," he said, staring at their expressionless faces and shaggy bodies. Both stallions were far larger than the mares he had met, and both were incredibly shaggy. "My name is Stavius, and this is Janice."
"We were told who you are," came a gruff thought from the black stallion nearest to Stavius.
"Our coats are pure because we do not care to be touched by Manus, unlike our sisters with their penchant for endless grooming."
"Manus?" asked Janice.
"Hands," answered Bernice. "Unicorn stallions do not like to be touched by either satyr, centaur, or human hands."
"Nor any other part of you," said the second stallion, "but we will make an exception today at the request of our queen."
Bernice had walked over to the stallions while they were talking and was fastening what appeared to be an oddly shaped turtleneck sweater around each stallion's chest and lower neck.
"These saddles will provide you a means to ride our companions," explained Bernice. "There are loops where you can place your feet and more loops where you can grasp with your hands at various places around the neck piece." Janice remarked that this was brilliant. It provided a way for them to ride without the need for bridles, reins, and bits, which no unicorn stallion would suffer, and it minimized physical contact between humans and equines.
The black stallion snorted his agreement and then turned to Stavius and said,
"My name is Ajdal. I am king of the unicorns. Prince Manaran and I will take you to the edge of your city at the behest of my wife."
"Our apologies, your majesty," stammered Stavius as both he and Janice dropped to a low bow. Ajdal and Manaran both let loose loud whinnies, which the boys took to be laughter.
"There's no need for that ceremonial nonsense around us. Save it for the mares. Now climb on so we can be done with this."
The two unicorn stallions knelt down, and the two boys climbed on, being careful only to touch the sweater saddles.
Then the two stallions rose, and without a word, Bernice opened the gate, and they raced out of Equus. Stavius and Janice arrived at the edge of the Septimiculus region by midday. It was a journey that would have taken the boys 2 or more days on foot, and they were happy it was over so quickly. The land between Equus and Septimiculus was a hot, desolate wasteland. It was mostly dust, dirt, and rocks, with a few weeds and scrubby bushes scattered about. The only animals either Stavius or Janice saw were fleeting shadows of small lizards or snakes skittering out of their path, and the multitude of insects. The land was filled with the sounds of buzzing horseflies and grasshoppers that were annoying on a trotting horse and would be infuriating on foot. Septimiculus is a city situated near the center of a vast magical pool, roughly 9 miles in diameter.
The stallions stopped next to a small stream a few hundred feet inside the region.
The boys looked behind them and gazed at the sharp edge of lush grass, shrubs, and wildflowers against desolation that stretched to either side. It looked like a desert oasis, which only extended as far as the water reached. However, water wasn't the missing element. The stream ran from the green carpet of lush vegetation out into the wasteland, but only the sturdiest of plants could grow out there without magical energy. Janice and Stavius carefully unfastened the sweater saddles without touching the unicorns, and the stallions quickly stood and shook them off. "Just leave them," said Ajdal. "They are woven from the mare's hair and will rot away by spring."
"Thank you for your help," said Stavius. "You've given us a chance to save our friends."
The four of them rested by the stream in silence, sipping the fresh water and feeling the magical energy washing over them until Ajdal unexpectedly said, "Go ahead and ask your questions." "Excuse me," asked Stavius. "We have traveled all morning, and yet you do not ask the questions on your mind. Why?" asked Ajdal. "You seem to value your privacy, and we respect that," answered Stavius. "We are grateful for your assistance, and our questions are unimportant." "Your attitude is appreciated and unexpected," said Ajdal. "That is why I am willing to speak with you. Go ahead and ask your question."
Janus blurted out, "Why do you fear us?"
Maneran reared up at this query and angrily shouted, "We do not fear you, humans. How dare you suggest it?" Ajdal walked between the two before the interchange became physical and said, "Maneran,
I doubt this young human would say such a thing if he did not sense something.
However, I assure you that we do not fear you, Janus. Why do you ask such a thing?" Janus refused to back down and retorted, "Perhaps you don't fear us, but I do sense fear in you when you are with us. I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult you, but this has been bothering me since we first met." Maneran was still prancing around, but Ajdal stood still and stared into Janus's eyes. "You do sense fear in us regarding your race, but it is not for the reasons you suspect."
"My race? What do you mean by that?" asked Janus in alarm.
He had noticed that there didn't appear to be races of people on Mirth.
People on Mirth had their differences, but he had never met anyone he would classify as black or white or Asian or any other identifiable race. Mirth was far different than Earth in this regard.
"Why, the human race, of course," Ajdal answered in surprise.
"We feel uncomfortable around the Centaur and Satyr races as well, but more so with humans."
Stavis had been as surprised by Ajdal's statement as Janus and asked, "Why is that? What is it that you fear?" Ajdal explained that, "We dislike humans because you have a history of killing unicorn mares for their horns and of attempting to enslave unicorn stallions to be used for farm labor. However, you rarely succeed at either of those since the creation of Equus. Our real fear relates to what we are always tempted to do to you.
You're afraid that you will use your abilities to enslave us like the mares enslave the satyrs," said Janus in amazement.
"Your perception astounds me, Janus," said Ajdal. "The unicorn mares of Equus use their mental and emotional skills to enslave the satyrs. Their love of being groomed and pampered and eating cultivated food and living in covered buildings has made them dependent upon the satyrs. The mares use their talents to make the satyrs and the centaurs want to do their bidding. They create such a happy, peaceful, and loving environment that their servants don't even realize they are enslaved. Actually, the satyrs do realize what is happening, but they don't see a better alternative," observed Stavius.
"Well, then perhaps there is hope," said Ajdal, with sadness streaming from his mind. "We avoid contact with the Manus to avoid the temptation to enslave them to care for us as our sisters do. We choose to live a life of freedom, exercise, and meditation to strengthen our abilities and to control them. This is why we live separate from the mares, except to mate and to exchange fowls."
"Wow, do you ever think you'll reach a level of enlightenment where you'll be able to return to rejoin the mares without succumbing to temptation?" asked Janus.
Ajdal snorted and said, "Many of us have surpassed that and reached the point where we don't desire to rejoin the mares. The queen and her friends seem to have a need to broadcast their thoughts and emotions constantly. We, who control ours, find that loud and boorish. Frankly, I would rather have you join us over them. We just spent 4 hours together in silence, followed by a respectful and engaging conversation. You almost behave like stallions."
"That sounds like the nicest compliment I've ever received," said Janus.
"I agree," added Stavius.
"But we should be going if we hope to make it to Septumculus before nightfall. Safe travels on your return home." The two stallions snorted, turned, and galloped away. After a minute or two of watching the unicorn stallion shrink into the distance, Janus turned to Stavius and said, "That was fun. Let's go find something to eat." Stavius laughed, and without another word, the two boys picked up their packs and began walking.
Neither knew where they were, but in an unspoken agreement, they headed away from the desert and continued on the same dry, rocky, ancient riverbed they had been following since they left Equus.